Now, this group, the Wednesday night group, I mean, everybody at Emmanuel is good and things like that, but the Wednesday night group, there's always something about the people who come in the middle of the week and when things are rough and they really still come and they want to pray and they want to seek God. So I just commend you for that. And, you know, so praise God for that. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. And while you're turning there, we sung that last song, and Brother Brew is top-notch song leading. I'm sure you guys already knew that. I'm just figuring out. I'm like, that's a top-notch song leader. I gotta learn all I can from Brother Brew. So, anyways, but he picked that song. Nothing is impossible with God. And so, you know, in God's dictionary, I mean, he knows all the words, but in his, there's one word, impossible, is not in God's dictionary. He said, nope, that's not in there, because nothing is impossible with him. And how do you know that you say Mr. Antonio or Brother Antonio? Well, I got a wife. Whoa, praise to the Lord. That is awesome. All right, so, yeah, that's just such a blessing. And so right there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, we'll go ahead and read that. And then right after that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you saved us. We thank you that you made us new creatures, and we thank you that you're a prayer-hearing God. I just thank you for even getting us this far in the week, and thank you for the work that you're going to do in hearts even now. And I just pray that you would help our lights to shine brighter for you, help us to burn more for you. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, you are God's choice to be the light to a lost and dying world. You're God's choice. And could you imagine? I mean, he's God. And so God, like we already talked about, he could have crossed. Impossible is not in his dictionary. And he could have made the stones to cry out. He could have used a dog. I mean, he used a donkey. Brother Wes isn't here, but he knows a good song about using that old, he could have used that old dog next door. And you have to ask him about singing it one time. Anyways, it's encouraging. So he could have wrote it in the sky. He could have done so many things, but yet he chose to use you. Whoa. He wants to use you. You are the light to a lost and dying world. Could you imagine also what it must have been like to hear Jesus speak? To hear him preach? The people said that when Jesus preached, that the people marveled. They said, whoa. No man spake like this before. He speaks with power. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It is in this startling sermon that we hear, ye are the light of the world. Is that not exciting? You are the light of the world. When you go to Walmart, hold on, we got to get to that in the message. Okay, here we go. You are the light to a lost and dying world. Like we said, God could have used all of that. And this passage compels us to get the message of the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Hey. Whoa. So who is Jesus speaking to in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2? he's speaking to the disciples. Well, what is a disciple? I know this is the cream of the crop here. I'm just asking to get your attention. And so, you know, so what is a disciple? I know you all can tell me. Well, it's a disciplined learner, as one person told me. It is someone who decided to trust Christ and to follow Christ and to be a disciple and to be with Jesus. And so that is a disciple. And Jesus said these words, "Ye are the light of the world," to his disciples. The importance of the assignment. Hey, assignments are pretty important. And, I went to public school, so they weren't too important. I'm just kidding. Anyways, I went to Ambassador, and they're pretty important, you know, so they dock 10 points and different things like that, you know, turned it in on time, and assignments are really important. And, you know, I was even in the Coast Guard, and I figured out that assignments are even, they're really important. I'm like, whoa, you got to, like, wake up on time and, like, shave your face, and I got my bell ring a little bit in there in boot camp and stuff, and so assignments are important. And Jesus gave us an assignment. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." And so he gives us this assignment. And here, in with this pronoun, it's emphatic. And the emphasis is on you and you alone. You're the light. 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 The emphasis is on you and you alone. You are the light of the world. It's just us, Christians. No one else can be the light. We are it. We are it. You know, in Valley Forge, you know, the famous George Washington, he's on the dollar bill and stuff like that. And so he's there at Valley Forge, and they got the enemies coming in, and it's rough. One out of three men have shoes. It's rough walking around barefoot. I went to West Virginia with a friend, and one time he's walking around barefoot. I tried. I said, ooh, ooh, ooh. And so, anyways, they didn't have any shoes. They didn't have any shoes. They had to eat fire cakes, which is flour and water mixed together, and that's what they were eating. And conditions were rough. It was winter time. And you know what happened? They stuck it out. They kept in the fight. They didn't turn back. And because they didn't turn back, we now get to experience the freedom we have now. What if they turned back? What if they stopped? What if they said, oh, well, someone else will do it? Then we wouldn't experience the freedom that we have now. And so, you are the light. You know something else? Jesus didn't say that you can be the light. Jesus didn't even say that you will be the light. What did he say? Ye are the light. Wow, if there's one thing that God wants you to take with you after this message, what do you think it would be? Ye are the light of the world. Wow. And so, a city set on a hill, it says in verse 14, chapter 5, and there was this pastor that traveled to Ecuador. And he said, I can testify that when I went to Ecuador and when I stood there, I could see this little city way up on the mountain and everything else is pitch black, but I can see the light of that city. And when you go up to that city, then you get into that city where the light was and you see other little cities around there. And there is no such thing as an invisible believer. Just as those other cities shined in that dark area, Christians should shine in the world today. And they should be able to see Christ in you. And we'll talk more about that later, of how people can see Christ in us. So be all the light that you can be? How much of the gospel can the world see in you? How much of the gospel can the world see in me? If I asked one of your coworkers, which I probably will not do, and I said, hey, is Joe Schmo, how are they when you work with them? Is their language good? Do they laugh at bad jokes? Do they complain? Have they ever told you about Jesus? What would the coworker say? Or the neighbor? Or even the person when you go through the drive-thru? Different things like that. I know there's always a need, but we are the light in a lost and dying world. Hey, at school, in the youth group, going to the gym, how much of the light can the lost and dying world see in you? You know, I had a really neat witnessing opportunity, and many of you know I got my hand cut, and so I got 4 stitches right there, and so I'm driving. I have a coworker who's driving me to the atrium to get stitched up. And we're on the way back, and I'm stitched up, and he was like, oh, man, I'm sorry that that happened to you and things like that. And then the thought hit me. It said, well, you know, Jesus suffered way more. And I know it was a work injury, but it was a segue into the gospel. And at first I didn't want to say it. I was like, oh, you know. Who am I to say something like that? Oh, you know, Mr. Christian. But, you know, obviously it's not Satan saying that for you to segue into the gospel. And so I began to witness to him and to tell him about that. And you know something? We went through the whole plan of salvation. And I said, have you ever recognized you're a sinner? And have you ever, like, called upon the name of the Lord? Have you ever asked him to save you? And he was kind of a little bit confused on some things, and I didn't really get a yes, and different things like that. But you know something? That's not my job. My job is to tell him to plant and to water, and who gives the increase? And that's our job, to be light to a lost and dying world. We're also, we're a city set on a hill, and also we're talked about as a lamp. You know, the houses in Jesus' day usually consisted of a one bedroom, and I live in a camper, so I can kind of get where this is coming from a little bit. But anyways, they consisted of a one bedroom, and they had this stone that protruded out of the wall, and they would put a light on there. And what, could you imagine if someone just lit that, and then all of a sudden they just covered it up? No, that doesn't make sense to do that. If we're a lamp, like to a lamp, we're supposed to lamp shine. And we don't want to dim out our light, and so that everybody can benefit from the light. So before my wife and I were married, and I got to practice saying that out loud in pulpits and stuff like that, because, you know, and I figure out this is like, you know, this is family. So anyways, so before we were married, it was my birthday. And being the sweet person she is, she got me like a cake and like what else? Sung happy birthday. And we did all this other stuff, you know. So then her birthday is 5 days after mine. And so I said, wow, okay, the bar is set high, buddy. Okay, so I copied her a little bit, got a cake and got some other stuff, and went and lit the candles, and we sang happy birthday outside of the library, and I actually brought some of the leftover candles. So I have the candles here. This is not a commercial. Don't buy these candles. I lit these candles. And I go, happy birthday to you, and blow out the candles. And she goes to blow out the candle. It blows out, but then it re-sparks back up. I wanted the sparkler ones because I thought they were cool. Well, it kept relighting. and relighting and relighting. And we could not blow the candle out until, but isn't that what we're supposed to be like as Christians? What is it going to take for someone, but it's really not, flesh isn't really our enemy, it's spiritual battle. What does it take for something to out your light? We're supposed to keep our light burning and keep our testimonies on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to dim our lights. You may say, there are too many people. There are too many people. Have you not been to the Shelby Fireworks Show? There's like thousands of people. How are we going to witness to all of those people? Well, you have your own circle. You have your own world that you can witness to. And it's not everybody. You have your family. You have your friends. Like we already talked about, neighbors, people that you meet and things that you can witness to and hear a little things like that. And tell them and let them know that Jesus saves. And not only live out the gospel, but also tell the gospel. Because it is a message. So, and I tell you what, when you go to tell the gospel, you might get a little gospel sweats, but you just do it anyways, and you trust the Lord, and he'll help you as you go and tell. So in those days, there were spiritual leaders, and they were called scribes or Pharisees, and they were high-ranking, and they were the religious people of the time, and their special title was Nerola, and this meant a lampstand. And they were supposed to be a lampstand of the world. And this title was only reserved for the spiritually elite people, not the regular people. But you know something? In this chapter, Jesus calls the disciples, he calls you the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And so, now how many people are on the planet right now? About 8 million, yeah, that's what statistics say. And so about 3/4 of those people have never heard the gospel message. 41% of those have never heard the name Jesus. They've never heard Jesus. And instead of focusing on the entire world, let's focus on your world. You know, there's probably people within your circle of influence that maybe they haven't even really read any of the Bible. They just know what other people really tell them about the Bible. They've never really had someone talk with them about Scripture, never heard the plan of salvation. Even here in Shelby, there's people that have never heard the plan of salvation, how you can be saved. This tells us, Christians, that we have to be shining. We have to be shining for our Lord. So, God wants to use you. Hey, you say, I can't do it. Well, you're right. You can't do it. God wants to do it through you. He doesn't want your ability. He wants your availability. Lord, I can't do it. I need your help. Would you put someone on my path? Would you help me to witness to somebody? And he will help you to do it. So what is the achievement of the assignment? Verse 16, how do I make this happen? How do I shine the light of the gospel to others? Well, you can do good works. You say, oh, brother, you tell me good works that's going to save me? Why I didn't say that? I just said that's how you shine and that's how you show others what a Christian is, by doing good works. Do people see you showing love, showing respect, responding in kindness, not getting mad or annoyed? Do people see you serving others? Or do people just see your grumpy side? Or do they see with a bad attitude or hatred? You know, your testimony in front of the unbelievers, it'll either draw them to Jesus or it'll push them away from Jesus. And once again, you know, open your mouth and speak about Jesus, and God will help you as you witness to others. You'll be like, that wasn't that bad, actually. I kind of like that. So it's not an easy thing to do, but it's paramount. And once again, it's a message. We have to tell it. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. Be the light to this world. This is a calling from God for all believers to be a light. But there is a caution. Jesus gives two illustrations, and he talks about the lamp, and then he talks about the city set on a hill. But it makes no sense for a Christian to be an invisible Christian. There's no such thing as an invisible Christian. You know, your face is a billboard for Jesus. And it says a lot. Your face is a billboard for Jesus. And when people see you, does it look like you smelled a skunk? Or do you kind of have a smile on your face? And, you know, even through the hard times, you can have a smile on your face. You know why? Because Jesus is good. Jesus does the impossible. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is setting up a home for us in heaven. We seek him, and he provides all the things for us. He's just poor. We live in America. We're so blessed in so many things like that. And, oh, man. So we can have a smile on our face. And though it makes no sense to hide the light, but many Christians hide the light. We hide our light. And, what causes us to hide the light? What do we have to beware of? We have to beware of the sinful life. Sins that creep in that we may hold on to and we don't confess them and get things right with God. Confess and forsake. It says, for a Christian to live in sin is to live contrary to what the Lord has intended you to do with your life. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hey, Christ didn't give us a new life so that we can live sinfully or that we can hide our light. We are to live out the gospel truth in our testimonies. If you will live a godly lifestyle, then telling others the gospel will be easier. You know, you ever seen a glow-in-the-dark football or a glow-in-the-dark frisbee? You put it in the light, and what happens at night? It glows even more. And so, but we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord. And also, quickly, we'll quickly get through these. Beware of the selfish life. There's a sinful life, and be also cautious of the selfish life. You say, hey, I don't want to tell someone about Jesus because they may not like me, or I'm scared to tell them about Jesus and different things like that. So what you're really saying is that you don't want to tell someone about Jesus because you're scared of what their reaction may be or that they may not like you. Well, that's selfish. That's a selfish attitude. And for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There's also laziness we have to be cautious of. Forgetfulness is another thing, and we could be a forgetfulness in the sense of that you're so absorbed with the day-to-day things and the task, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and oh, did I do this, or did I do that? And all of a sudden, you forget that you're here, and it's only a short amount of time that we're here, and we have to witness, and we have to get the gospel out, because it's only, tomorrow's not promised. And none of that stuff is really going to matter 100 years from now, right? Like the clothes we wear, the car we drive, the house we live in. A lot of that is not going to matter 100 years from now. So as believers, we have to be aware of the sinful, the selfish life. We have to remember that you, Christian, are the light of the world. We have to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. So let your light shine. There is no plan B. God chose you to get his message across to a lost and dying world. That's amazing.